Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Unboxed. This week I'm sat with Cora Delaney. Cora is a fashion powerhouse, and in this episode we go into a number of areas, including how to get started in fashion.
It is gatekept, but you know what, social media really is like a gateway for anyone to achieve anything they want.
How to be a successful influencer.
It's the people that really build their brands and build stuff around them that are gonna last a while.
And how to work with big brands.
I think once you start working with one or two high-end designers, it really does catch on. You need to be at everything. You need to be getting your photo taken. If you can't be bothered to go out, just go. Get your picture and go home. The world is changing. It really is. And like, sometimes it's about virality.
Get into all of that and so much more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Unboxed. Cora, thank you so much for coming on Unboxed. It's a real privilege. For those who don't know you, who are you and what do you do? Because anyone who's in this space of creators, of fashion, they will know who you are. Anyone who's outside may not. So for those who don't know, who are you?
I'm Cora Delaney. I always hate these things. I don't know. I'm like so shy. For any other talent, I could literally like be like, no.
They do this and this. Yeah,
when it's me, I'm like, ah. But I started EYC Limited, which is a 360 agency. First and foremost, it's a talent agency. We look after talent around the world, mainly in UK and Europe, but we have talent everywhere. And then we also have different arms to the company. So we have an events arm. We do huge events for, you know, different brands. We do lots of Fashion Week stuff. And then we have a creative direction and styling team. So we work with H, Neo Archives, lots of fab people like that. And then we have our strategy team, which is where we bring all of those things together for a brand. So they come to us with a brief and we just break it down and what they should be doing. We do the casting, we do the contracts, we do everything. And then we just signed a record deal with Atlantic Records. So that's our new project that we're taking on for some reason. But it's fab, and obviously the way that social media is affecting music and the charts and stuff, it just seems like a silly thing to us not to try the water.
How did you start in all of this? Were you a stylist to begin with?
So it's quite funny. So I worked at I was at uni and I went to like one of those open day things for ASOS, where they wanted to like just ask loads of kids loads of questions, just marketing research. And I went and did that, and then they were like, oh, do you want to come back next week? And I was like, I want a £50 voucher, so yeah, go on then. I went back, and this time I went back and it was just me. And I was like, this is weird. And then after that, they were like, do you want to come and work with us for a few months? And I was thinking, like, I hate uni, so every day I've been praying for something to come along. So I'm like, I have to take this. So I was like, yeah. So I went and worked with them, helping them start up their like online content page. It was kind of like an online magazine. It was right at the beginning of like social media, really. Not Facebook, but like Instagram, and obviously TikTok weren't even the thing. And I used to just run around making content, interviewing people at parties, you know, just writing things. And it was so fun. But then there came to a point where I was like, okay, I need to do something else now. And I went and worked for Lily Allen. And I was doing like...
As you do.
And I was like doing her styling and like helping with content, like her social content. And then I was also doing like parties for brands, but like smaller things, you know, low budget things.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. It was like just hanging out with like all of the people I've met, you know, in our industry, and it was really fab. And then I met Gully Guy Leo and The Basement, and I just started managing him. Never done it before, but I was like, you know, why not? And we just clicked. We got on so well, and he just like took social media by storm. Obviously grew so quickly, not only here but in America and Asia, and we just flew around the world just shooting campaigns and just having a laugh. And all of those three things just snowballed into what we have today, really. It was super organic. Never took any investment or like just any, like basically everything that we're doing is just what I've taught myself. It's kind of like winging it.
It's a way to do it. Who do you represent now?
Okay, so in New York we work with Buddy Osiris, who just a legend. OG, love him. And then obviously I've got to say Leo, he was my first, my child. Parisa, Bad Kid HQ, killing it, stunning, like, just chic, just love her. Callum Mullen, we've been working with him really since the beginning of us doing this, and he's just worked so hard and is just doing so much in the luxury space. And then we have like Ihsan Elba, Idris Elba's daughter, and we have Emilia Boateng, you know, those sort of girls who are, you know, integral to our London party scene, you know, like there's just, we have a lot of different talent and they do different things. Like we have Wavy U, Claudia, like she's doing her thing, you know, and that's something different to what we do in a high fashion sphere, you know. So we've got all these different people doing really incredible things and it builds, it's like our crazy little family, like everyone's a little bit different, but it works.
How would you describe like youth culture today in this country? Because you talk about like the party scene and everything, but how would you describe like what is it in,
you know,
your, in
youth
your
culture
view?
Is different to my youth culture because my youth culture was going out, going to parties every night, meeting people. You know, youth culture now is what, meeting people online. You know, to me, I'm still obsessed with IRL things, I'm still obsessed with those experiences, you know. That's probably why I get so excited about working and doing this, but yeah, it's just online, isn't it?
And you work with obviously amazing brands, and one of the things that you do, which again not many can do, is you can bring this culture into the luxury market. How do you get into luxury fashion? Because it's such a gatekept space that is full of challenges, right? So if somebody wants to say, right, how do I even access some of these brands, what do you do?
In terms of talent?
In terms of talent or behind the scenes?
You're right, it is gatekept. But you know what? With social media now, it feels much less gatekept than it was previously, because if the people in-house at these brands see talent that they really like, that can automatically get you to the front row, you know? Like, it's very different now. But with me, like, it's funny. I always think the people that I partied with 10 years ago are the people that have grown up with me and now they're execs at all these labels and stuff, you know? So, like, I feel like I've been working with everyone for so long that it's just natural now that I know everyone in these agencies. We work so close, not even agencies, in these brands and agencies, and we just work so closely with them. But I think social media really is like a gateway for anyone to achieve anything they want if they really try and if they sort of actually look at what they're doing and focus properly on what they're doing. It's not going to come overnight, but it can, you know?
Because one thing I always look at as well is around like crafting an image for yourself that tells a story to these brands. Because I think as a manager, it's about how do you shape the narrative so that you're attractive to the Gucci's, the Burberry's, the kind of luxury market. Because it's not a pay and you get in type exercise. It's very intangible. It's quite subtle. But how can you shape that narrative on social? How can you be attractive to these brands?
It's funny you say that because, like, for instance, Gucci have like such a look of like talent that they go for. And like the style that they go for. And then, you know, I think it's actually looking at, I always say to my talent, like, if there's one person that you really like, watch out for what they're doing. They're doing something right. They're working with the brands you want to work with. Why are they working with them brands? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to see like what they're doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who comes up often as a reference point? So I was always very interested in how Emma Chamberlain was able to do that transition from what she was doing to then being on the front row of like LV, and then Amelia recently being on the front row of Burberry.
I mean, Amelia's like doing amazingly, but this is the
Amelia
thing.
Amelia Oldenburg, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, love her. We did her birthday party, which was fab. You know, like we love her anyway. But it's interesting. I think once you start working with one or two high-end designers, it really does catch on, and like, some people are surprising, like, who ends up being that person. Like, I mean, Tube Girl. Do you think Tube Girl was going to work with all the high-end? Like, but now look at her. She's doing everything. She just did Valentino, you know? Like, the world is changing. It really is. And, like, sometimes it's about virality.
Yeah. You know? And what are some of the, you know, when in the advice that you give to your talent, what are some of the things you say about how you can go viral? Like, how you can make social work for you? Because it's really hard, right, for most people out there.
I think that's the main thing now, is like, you need to build a brand around yourself. You need to be at everything. You need to be getting your photo taken. I even say to people, if you can't be bothered to go out, just go. Get your picture and go home. Just make sure that you're seen, you're out and about, you're talking to people, you're, you know, the more effort you put in, the more you're going to get out of it. And all of those things just add to your brand. Everything you do, the way that you interact, the way that you type, the way just everything is like add into that. And I think that's the same with like my company. Like, I'm so heavy on the branding, like everything, every deck has to be the same branding. Everything is the same. Like, if I've got my team working somewhere, they're all wearing the same EYC t-shirt. Everyone is uniform, you know, like I'm really like heavy on this whole branding thing.
Why?
I don't know.
Because I agree with you. I think it's super important. But what is, do you have a method to it?
I just want, to me, like EYC is a brand in itself and it opens more doors. And it's just like, I want it to be something that people know, you talk about it. It's a, I mean, look at Playboy. Like Playboy is like, it became so much more than just a magazine. It became one of the biggest, most noticeable brands in the entire world. You know, they opened clubs. They had, you know, they had everything. And like, I just think it's really important.
Yeah. So you have been putting on more and more events, right? As you're saying, physical experience is a big part of what you do. You can plug in your talent, you can plug in the brands you work with, this sort of great kind of coming together with all the different touch points of your business. Can you talk us through an event that you remember as being like a real headline kind of highlight in terms of the work that you've done, and then one that hasn't been so good?
There isn't any that hasn't been so good.
There we go. So what's the highlight?
I think an interesting one for us is that we've started working with Jack Wills. And the reason we've started working with Jack Wills is to try and reinvent them and, you know, bring them to a different audience. Ooh. And, you know, there's so much history and stuff there. And, you know, it's not a brand that would normally align with us. You know, we're really, like, high-end mostly. But we just did a really amazing activation where we took 150 talent from London on coaches to the Cotswolds, to this mansion in, you know, in the countryside. And they got off the coaches and they came in the house. They got given their sliders. They went downstairs. They got given their swimming cozy, their robes, like all of their stuff that they put on. And then it was a great, like, pool party, like fraternity party, people are saying, you know. And like, we had so much going on. Like, there was like picnics on the grass, there was like people in the pool, there was people playing like beer pong, we had like amazing like caterers, amazing bar, we had DJs, and then later on in the evening it came into the house. Upstairs we had a barber doing trims for everyone, we had tooth gems, nail artists, photo booths, everything. We just had everything and it was so good, and everyone was like, oh my god, this is the best party I've been to, like it's so memorable. And then we like got written up in the Evening Standard the next day, you know. And like, it's just stuff like that. I'm like, these are actual like memories that people will keep. And there's so many parties in London or around the world that I go to, and I don't think about it twice once I've left the door, you know. Like, it's, I just want to create those moments that really stick with you. And there's a few parties I've been to like in my career that have really stuck with me, and I've always like taken inspiration from those.
Yeah. What's the best party you've ever been to?
Best party I've ever been to was Nazir Mazar's strip club party at the Metropolis strip club about 10 years ago. All the strippers were wearing custom Nazir. I think there was like loads of like grime artists were performing. It was just so good. And I was like quite new to London, so I was like, oh my god, is this what I've been missing out on? No, it's not, because it never happened again. But like, it was incredible. And like, you know, I used to work for Nazir at the time with Mikey, my COO. We used to be like interns together. So that was super special, that one. But like, yeah, like that was just, it was different. I'd never seen anything like it. And that's why it really stuck in my mind.
And what goes into making a good party? Like, is it all the events you've been to, all the events you put on, what would you say exemplifies like a banger?
No queue at the bar. Hate.
Awful.
Hate queuing at the bar. That's terrible. I would say for me, I don't like queuing at the door, but I'm quite happy if there's a queue outside my party, so queue's good. Obviously the music, the DJs. I don't know, just the vibes, you know, the people that are invited. I always think, like, you can have the best people at a party and the party's crap.
Yeah.
It's just boring. I think, like, anyone can write a tick list of, like, what a good party needs, and I think that's fine, but it's how you execute it is the thing, you know. That's what I mean. Like, all these parties we go to, they've got all of those elements that I've just said, but there's no vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think it's about creating those moments that you can go and make content, and you can go and do things that are fun, that you can take away with you, and you can post, and, you know, like, that's getting more and more important every day, you know. Every event we do now, we make sure that there's like different places to take photos, there's photo booths, there's like moving video, like gifts, you know, that all of those bits is super important.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, social's just transformed the whole like meaning of what these things are, right? Because an event isn't just an event, it's actually how it translates online. It's almost more important in a way, in a sense, especially if you're saying people are coming and going after 5 minutes.
Like, literally, my wrap-up video, it's like I'm having a premiere when I get one of those back, you know, like, and it's so important to get those right and just to, like, capture actually, like, the essence of the party.
Yeah. How is the influencer industry, the creator industry, how have you seen it change over now, what, 10 years being in this, especially in fashion? How have you seen it shift and change?
I think it's much more accessible to people now.
And where do you think it's going?
Oversaturated, you know. There's so many content creators, there's so many agencies, so I don't know where it's going. I'd love to know. That would be really helpful to me, actually, if I did know, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's getting harder and harder for people to make it your sole living. I don't necessarily think it is a career in the same way that we maybe once thought. I think it's just part and parcel of everyone's brand, and then you have to do things that drive revenue and drive a business elsewhere. Maybe that's leveraging social, but it's not necessarily the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about this, and it's about, and back to what we were just saying, it's about building your brand.
Yeah.
And it's the people that really build their brands and build stuff around them that are gonna like last a while, I think.
So I want to talk about some of the people that you've worked with, right? So H is somebody who before we even met, obviously, you are always tagged, you're always there. You've seemed like you've been such an integral part of his story in terms of, you know, his styling, his fashion, everything about his kind of development. When did you start working with H? How has it been to work with him? How long has it been?
God, I think we must have started working with him. I've had 3 birthdays, so it must be about 2.5 years. And I just love H. I love H. I love H's family. I love H's team. You know, like, he's so down to earth. He's a great friend. And yeah, we kind of, I remember, like, they wanted to do a Zoom with me. And I remember at the end of the Zoom, I saw it popped up that they were then having another Zoom with another stylist. And I thought, fuck you.
And cool.
Yeah. But then obviously we got the job. And, you know, the thing with H is that he loves fashion and stuff. And I just really wanted to bring him into that more luxury world and make sure that brands were really noticing him and wanted to work with him and stuff. And, you know, and he's like been like the main guy to work with, like Miu Miu, which is incredible. Miu Miu's like number one on like all the charts of like what brands are like doing really well at the moment. And that was fab. Like, he performed at their Christmas party.
How does that, so just because that's amazing, right? To think, and this is why stylists are so important. I think they're probably the most, or one of the most important parts of the puzzle for talent building their brands, for artists building their brands. I'm a massive believer in that. For you to be able to help that transition from him, from where he was, to then being able to work with a luxury brand like a Miu Miu and be sort of front and center, how strategically, how does that happen?
Well, I think it's different for me because obviously we do brand partnerships and we do management. So I've got those relationships with those brands already. So it's not just, can I loan this outfit? It's, can I loan this outfit? And what else can we do to build this partnership, right? And that's what we wanted to do. And that's why we were so heavily trying to loan Miu Miu, because it was important that we built that relationship.
Who are your favourite brands? Is that a controversial question?
I love Miu Miu.
Yeah.
I love Miu Miu. God, Prada. I really only wear Prada heels.
Yeah. You're wearing them right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
But I'm quite like a high street girl, but then with like all my designer bits on top. You know?
And what brands do you think are killing it right now from a strategic or brand building perspective?
You know, I think Burberry, like, the talent that Burberry are working with, especially on their front row and stuff, is fab. Like, we work with Near Archives, and she was, you know, front and centre at their show, which is fab. Like, makes sense. She DJed at their party after.
I want to get your views on a few points now, a few topics, because I feel like you have some interesting opinions. What's your view on university?
Yeah, I think it depends what field you're going into. For some people, it's really, really important. For others, it's not. For me, it was important because I would never have been able to move to London and, you know, without getting that grant from uni. So for me, that was like helping me in life. And although, you know, I got into a brilliant uni and I met really brilliant people and I learned so much it just wasn't for me, but I don't regret it. Mm. It's really important.
And what's your view on fashion schooling generally?
Well, I went to Westminster to do fashion design, right? Mm. Which obviously I didn't stay at, but they work so hard. The people on my course worked so hard. It's like unbelievable. And for them, it's really important. It's so important to know how to like make clothes properly and you know, like all of that. Like that's important, but I think it's like the styling and the creative direction and like PR and stuff. That's the stuff that I'm like, do you know what? You just learn so much on the job interning. Mm. But some people want to go uni and they want that structure and they want to learn, you know, like that. So I think everyone to their own, really. But for me, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all.
Mm. So I wanted to ask you about, obviously, you work with tons of brands and you put on campaigns for them. What is the process of putting on a campaign for a brand for those who've never done it before? Like, what does it take from end to end? You talked about the ideation, etc. What is that flow for those who've never done it before?
If I say this, is someone going to copy me?
It depends how good the answer is. what's your method?
I think my method is reading a brief and really interpreting it in the way that we see is the best way. So, you know, we'll all sit there, we'll brainstorm it. Everyone in the office is young. Everyone's full of ideas. We'll do a big brainstorm and then we'll get into, like, the mechanics of it. We'll get into, like, the nitty-gritty, like actually like sitting down, doing the casting, doing the engagement, doing the face sheets, you know, getting the numbers, seeing if, you know, their engagement's good enough. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. That's, it's not just like, let's have fun and pick some people. Like, it's like really like that. Then obviously it gets into the contracting. It depends if we're using our talent or we're casting out. If we're casting out, then there's negotiations. You know, obviously then we're feeding back to the client all the time. It's like it's really like quite a long process, but because we have everything in house, it works really well. You know, we're just over the desk from someone that's going to help us, you know, do something else, and then obviously contracts. And then if we're going to do an event, we do an event. Are we contracting talent to go there? Is there deliverables for them to go there? Are we doing the full guest list? Are we doing the PR? You know, there's just so many different parts to this.
Yeah.
End to end, really.
Yeah.
No, and then obviously at the end, the reporting is huge.
Yeah.
So.
And the highlight reel. It's even huger.
Yes, yeah, everything.
That's it. Well, I want to touch on Fashion Week. I think Fashion Week's the sort of thing that gets mystified, and people who aren't in the space don't necessarily know the ins and outs and the weird kind of, I guess, things that go on. For those who don't know, what is Fashion Week, and what is Fashion Week like to go to as somebody working in it?
Fashion Week is where all of the brands show their collections for the upcoming seasons. Paris, London, Milan, New York. And it's a crazy time. And there's so many parties, there's so many showrooms, there's events, there's dinners. It is just...
Non-stop.
It's non-stop. It's crazy.
What's your craziest Fashion Week story, if you have one? What's one?
My craziest Fashion Week story, I probably can't remember, you know? Like, yeah, let's be honest.
If it wasn't that crazy, you probably would be able to tell it.
But, you know, back in the day, I mean, me and Mikey, my COO, who I said about earlier, like, we used to, when we was at uni still, we would, you know, save our money up and get a train to Paris and literally try and get into any party, event, anything that we could, like, and it was sick. Like, we had the bestest time. We met so many people that we work with in industry now, you know, like, those were really, like, integral moments of our life where, you know, we had to do that. And obviously now Fashion Week's become more like a festival where everyone's attending, but back in the day it'd be people that just were, like, really wanted to get into the fashion industry that would be there, or the people that needed to be there. And, Paris just used to be, it still is, but to me, it was just, like, the best place in the world.
Mm. But again, right, as I said, this show is called Unboxed, so we actually have a box now.
Yeah.
Okay. And in this box are a number of cards. I would like you to pick one, to read what's on it, and to tell me what comes to mind.
So, this was the Doja video.
Just that little video.
That little video, you know, with Cole Bennett. I always think Cole Buxton, that's so bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
CB.
Yeah, they look kind of similar too.
And Cinch the day before said, I need everything in Tiffany blue. Okay. So we found this this Nike Tech in Tiffany
blue. Why Tiffany blue?
Because the cars were Tiffany blue, I believe.
Mm.
I can't remember now. It was really like short notice, but you know, he styles himself for everything. We just give him a helping hand on that one, but it was super, super fun. Yeah, this is like an iconic image now, isn't it?
Where'd you get a Tiffany blue Tech fleece?
Google. Yeah. Is it real? Who knows? Joking, it is. I'm joking. Well, how 28-year-old Kuzani built an influencer marketing agency that netted $1 million in revenue last year. That's funny because it was actually a lot more than that and it was in pounds and that really pissed me off. But you know what?
How much was it actually?
It was like over $2 million. So it was just like jarring, yeah, but yeah. Like, thanks, like, you know.
We'll take it.
I think this was my most liked post. Yeah. 6,000 likes on there.
That's a banger.
Let's just sign myself at this point. Yeah. But you know what? This was like quite monumental for me. So this was nearly 2 years ago now. So, you know, the amount we're turning over now compared to then is good. That makes me quite happy. Thanks. I might take this with me and frame this. But yeah, you know, we've doubled every year since we started, you know, so we're on a healthy incline, I'd say, but that's nice to see. Leo, on his 21st birthday, is saying thank you to everyone. Thank you to my day one and forever best friend, Mama Jar and pioneer, Cora, who I owe it all to, but you lot know that. That's nice. He actually did a really nice post for me on my birthday as well. That's super sweet. Mm. You know, we were there for each other. We're really, really, really important to each other. So, you know, I wouldn't be where I am without him. No way. So that's really nice to see. Why, DJ Khaled and Snipes. Is that right?
Yeah.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Start again. DJ Khaled and Snipes. Why fashion brands are putting celebrities in charge. Right, now, this is... God, I keep hitting my mic. Interesting. Interesting one, because a lot of... I'm talking to a lot of brands about like who their ambassadors and stuff should be at the moment, and actually about, you know, should we start putting celebrities into those creative director roles, right? You know, it's interesting, but like, I just we just did a campaign with H for Slazenger, which is the most unlikely partnership, but it was fantastic, and like the creative was unbelievable. We went to Palm Springs, we shot it there. It had such an amazing feedback, and I think it's really important. And I think it's more important now, not more important, but I see it more happening, is that fashion brands are using musicians and footballers and actors more than they're using models and stuff. And you know, I understand why. The interaction that these guys are getting is incredible, and it's more than talent. It's more than influencers, you know, like the pool that H or Cinch or any of these people are getting is just unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. To the 21-year-old who started as an intern at ASOS.
No, 16-year-old that started as an intern at Grazia.
To the 16-year-old, excuse me, that started as an intern at Grazia, what would you be saying to them looking back now?
To keep going. I would not change anything I've done. Like, I have interned for so long, and I tell everyone, don't stop interning, you're learning so much, you know, like, and even in the times when I did not have a penny to my name, I'm just like, just keep going, because things change, you know, and once people start believing in you, that's when it changes, because there's so many jobs I went for. I remember I went for, like, a influencer marketing role at Converse, which I was overqualified to do, I'm afraid, like, they didn't give it to me. They gave it to someone younger than me. And I was like, what the hell? And then from then, I was like, do you know what? I'm doing my own thing. And then obviously it's worked out really well for me. But like, stuff like that, like, don't let people like knocking you back like affect you too much. That's it.
Love it. Well, Cora, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
that was an amazing episode. Thank you so much to Cora for coming on. I hope you all enjoyed it. I learned a lot, I think, about the fashion industry. I'm not somebody who's ever really worked within fashion. I've just been on the outside and seen how chaotic and challenging it can be, but also how rewarding it can be too. And I think Cora explained all of that in great detail. So for anyone interested in fashion, I hope you got something from this. And for anyone else, I hope you liked it too. So we will see you next week with another episode of Unboxed. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and get this wherever you listen to your podcasts.